Good evening and welcome to the Homedale Township Public School Board of Education meeting for December 16th, 2020. Statement is hereby made that adequate notice of this meeting was given by posting written notice prominently on the bulletin board in the office of the Board of Education, the district's website, and sent to the four district schools, the mailing and or hand delivery of said notice to designated newspapers, Asbury Park Press, Independent, the PLG, PSG, PSA, PTSO, SAB presidents, and student representatives to the board, and filing with the clerk of Homedale Township Police Headquarters and Public Library. Meetings of the board are open to the public and all members of the community should feel free to participate. There will be two opportunities for the public to speak. The first is at the beginning of the meeting for agenda items only, and the second is at the end of the meeting for other items. Any individual desiring to speak shall give his or her name, address to the group, if any, that is represented. The presentation shall be as brief as possible, but no more than 3 minutes per individual. There are certain matters that may be brought before the board that cannot be immediately addressed in public. Such matters may be. There's feedback, right?
Yeah, hold on a sec. I think it's fixed now.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Such matters may be referred by the president to a board committee and or to superintendent for consideration and or resolution. The board vests in its president or other presiding officer authority to terminate the remarks of any individual if she deems it in the best interest of those present to do so. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn.
Here.
Mr. Sockel.
Here.
Mr. Reddy.
Here.
Mrs. Briamonte.
Here.
Mrs. Collins.
Here.
Mr. Wall.
Here.
Mr. Foster. Is absent. Mr. Hammer.
Here.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Can you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge
allegiance to the flag
of the
United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at this part of the meeting, we're going to have, we're going to start it off with some winter selections by our high school and middle school ensembles. So, Steve, can you take it away?
Sure.
Yeah.
Welcome to the virtual 2020 Winter Holmdel High School Instrumental Music Concert. You will be hearing from the Holmdel High School Symphonic Band and the Holmdel High School Jazz Band under my direction, Mr. John Coriot. The Symphonic Band will be performing a three-movement work entitled Prelude, Siciliano, and Rondo, written by Malcolm Arnold. The Jazz Band will be performing a piece entitled Yuletide Medley, arranged by John LaBarbera and written in the style of the Glenn Miller Band. We hope you enjoy this performance and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you.
was awesome. Thank you, guys. They're probably not watching, but someone can report to them and thank them for kicking off our meeting that way. It was fabulous. I love it. So we go from a little music to our self-assessment for determining grades under the Anti-Bullying Rights Act. It's a very easy transition. Because that would be Lee's fault.
Yeah, it's always great to follow a group of outstanding students and musicians playing holiday music, but I'll give it my best shot. And this is the annual HIB self-assessment that we are required to present to the board. The board will accept it, and we will then submit it to the state. And back in the spring, we'll get a rating from the state. Excuse me. The one thing I want to emphasize is that since I arrived here in July, the board has consistently raised the issue as to how we're doing with harassment, intimidation, and bullying. Are there things that we as a district can do proactively and reactively to make the system better? And tonight I'll share some of those things with you near the end of the presentation. I'm not going to read the presentation. It will be posted on our website. I think what's important is that, number one, this report is done by our school safety teams. They are listed on one of the slides, and they're representative of our staff throughout the district. You'll see that each team includes a parent, teacher, administrator, and each building's anti-bullying specialist. Again, this self-assessment, which is mandated by the state, is an effort for us to rate ourselves and then have that rating confirmed by the state of New Jersey. And while it's a statutory requirement, I think the value of this goes far beyond being a statutory requirement. This review process allows us to identify opportunities to improve, to address areas that may be lacking, and to, again, proactively meet the needs of our students in this area of harassment, intimidation, and bullying. There are 8 core elements that are listed in the presentation. It revolves around programs and other initiatives we are doing to address our character ed program. It's training for district staff on our policies. It's also training on professional development for all members of the school and anti-bullying specialists and school leaders, so they know what a HIB looks like and how to react to it and how to investigate it. A key area is curriculum instruction, and I'll speak to that in a few minutes. Personnel, we obviously must have those positions required by the state of New Jersey, and we do. We do have an incident reporting procedure, and I'll speak to that in a minute as well. And we do have a thorough investigative procedure and HIB reporting process. This is important because until we are able to identify where the problems are occurring and the frequency that they are occurring, it's very difficult for us to put in programs and take steps to reduce incidents of HIB. There are 26 indicators, and it's scored on a rubric of 0 to 3, with 3 meaning exceeds all requirements, and 0 mean does not meet requirements. You'll see that in almost every indicator, the committee rated the district as exceeded all requirements. And then you'll see the actual ratings out of a possible 78 at each of the 4 schools and the district. We earned a rating of 77. And that's great. But I also think, regardless of the score, there's opportunities for us to take steps, provide training, and institute programs to make us even better in this particular area. On one of the slides, you'll see a previous year comparison. and the district has consistently since 2015 improved their scores. Initially, again, they started out with 75s and now to move to a 78 at Village and 77 at the other schools throughout the district is a really significant accomplishment, and we certainly commend everyone involved in achieving those scores. As I said, once this is approved by the board, we'll submit it to the NJDOE. We'll send official scores, and the state will approve and send official scores to us in the spring. And this information must be posted on our website by statute. The last slide, which I'm going to speak to, is entitled Moving Forward. And we talk about maintaining our high scores, which obviously is critical to us. And in that area, we list the evaluate our social emotional learning and character education programs via meetings with the school safety team. I would expand that to include our supervisors in the area of curriculum, because I think a lot of things can be accomplished within the instructional program. We also need to provide the most up-to-date training. I've already shared with the board that we're going to institute more training for administrators, again, so we have a solid understanding of not only what a HIB is, but how to react to it, and certainly how to investigate it. And then, of course, the one thing that's important to everybody is to maintain consistent reporting procedures. Now, they're kind of global in their statement, but I do want to share with you some very specific things that we are doing either now or for the 21-22 school year. First of all, we're looking at a new software program that will bring us greater consistency across the district on the reporting of HIBs. And that software program is called HIBster. If we purchase that, we'll certainly provide training to everyone who needs to be trained in that area. We're also looking to bring in consultants to work on our SEL program, as well as our character education program. And again, that's a proactive step to train our staff so that they can turnkey it right into their classrooms. Another area which I think is very significant under the direction of Dr. Charney, our Assistant Superintendent for Curriculum Instruction, we're implementing a course at the eighth grade level in September to help address our understanding of other cultures and religions and so forth. And this course is called Forming a Critical Lens, Exploring Social Justice Through Humanities and Art. Again, this is designed for the eighth graders, and I believe it's a very positive, proactive step to address our requirements and our desire and the board's desire to exceed those requirements under the HIB statute. So that's our report for this evening. It follows all appropriate guidelines and statute recommended by the state of New Jersey. And it was done again by our safety teams that again are listed in this presentation, which will be posted on the website. That concludes the HIB report for this evening. Any questions from the board?
Hey, question for me, Lee. Thank you for doing that. The HIBster, is it pretty self-explanatory? Is it user-friendly, I assume, program?
Yes, it is. And it's been around for a number of years. I first encountered it probably in about 2014, and they've been tweaking it. Again, I don't think we've actually pulled the trigger on this yet. We're still looking at software products. But if we don't use HIBster, it'll be a program similar to HIBster. But what's nice about these programs is they have the built-in timelines so that each step of the process is aligned with the state statute. So we are in full compliance with that statute.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any board members have any questions? Lee? Great, our student representatives are here. Jidai, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, can you go ahead? Or who's going to go first?
I'll go first. Good evening. Unfortunately, we don't have anything to report, but I would like to wish you guys all a happy holiday and stay safe.
Always be aware that at a school board meeting, if you don't have anything to report, that is never a bad thing.
Noted.
Unfortunately, it's probably because poor kid hasn't been able to get to school. And our kids, our school, and our wonderful athletes aren't playing because we're in this shutdown. So, but it was good to see the kids from the high school performing today in SATS. So, and thank you for coming tonight. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Arun, do you have anything for us?
No, just like Gita, we don't have anything to report, but I just wanted to wish everyone a happy holidays, and I hope everyone's safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Arun. Have a wonderful holiday. We hope everyone's safe with your families and your friends. Stay well, okay? Right, at this point in the meeting, we have a report of the superintendent.
Okay, guys, I'm going to go inside, I think, for a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Steve. Hey, Steve, can you mute Terrence?
Yep.
Sorry.
Okay. A lot to report on this evening. I'll try to keep it to an appropriate length. I think the first thing I want to do is talk about what occurred over the past month or so. As you know, we were ready to open, and then in late November, we, in daily monitoring of our COVID cases, noticed a trend that was increasing dramatically. So based on guidelines from the state, the CDC, and the Monmouth County Department of Health, we made the decision to go virtual to try and curb the increase in the COVID-19 cases that we were starting to experience. We did that, and then we went one more week because at that point, I think it would be December 7th, we realized that we still had not turned the corner and seen our COVID-19 cases trending downward. So we went virtual one additional week. During that week, we noticed that things were trending down. For example, the high school went from 18 cases to 4, and we had drops in two of the other three schools. SATS was stable. It wasn't increasing, but it wasn't decreasing. But we also know that during this week, we anticipated 3 of the 8 cases to be closed because the quarantine exceeded the 14 days. So based on that trending downward of COVID-19 cases, we opened schools on Monday, December 14th. I was at Indian Hill. Dr. Charney was at Village. And I have to tell you, I thought what I experienced at Indian Hill was wonderful. I saw teachers who were caring about their students. They were engaged in supporting their students and providing an instructional program. We had a significant number of parents elect in-person instruction for their students. And I believe the past 3 days, even with the early dismissal day, have gone very smoothly. The high school and SATS, because of challenges with the lunch issue, they reopened with the previous hybrid with half the students coming in on one day and the other half coming in on the other day. And while attendance is good there, we do want to work on going to a drop-add rotating schedule beginning January 4th. And that will bring in all kids, all students who want to be in person every day. There'll be 4 hours of instruction in person in the morning. The students will then be transported home for lunch, and there will be an afternoon session of three classes. Now, the one thing that's good about the drop-add rotating schedule is as we go through a full cycle, each class will have the same amount of time as in person as virtual. So you will not be having the same class in the afternoon virtual every day. It will rotate through the day with the drop add. And again, at the end of the cycle, every student will have had for each course the same amount of time as an in-person as they have for virtual. So that's where we are right now. Attendance is a little difficult to explain this evening, but we do have, whether it be virtual or in person, we do have approximately 95% of our students in school each day. And again, that includes virtual as well as the hybrid at the complex and the in-person full day at Village and Indian Hill. So I think we're on good progress here. And as we have said since the beginning, based on the safety protocols we've implemented, the numerous safety steps we've taken, such as the cleaning protocols, special products, antimicrobial surface treatments, and now the ultraviolet lighting at Indian Hill and Village, I think we're in good stead that we can continue with our in-person program on a full day basis. And my hope is that as we get past the coming holidays, that more and more parents consider sending their students to the full day program. Something we've done since the switch from hybrid to full day at Village and Indian Hill is the institution of plexiglass shields at each desk to help prevent the spread of COVID-19, which has been very successful. I would, even though I haven't read the report yet, on the news today, I heard a report that the CDC has released a report that in summary has stated that COVID-19 among children spread at gatherings, not in schools. So it just reinforces what we've been saying, what we've been acting on for the past few months, that our schools are safe, they're safe for students, and COVID-19 is not being spread within the schools itself. It's really the outside social gatherings, whether it be some type of birthday party or some type of recreational program. But that's where the problems are. And I really would encourage our parents to work with their children, our students, to make sure they are following the safe practices, washing their hands very often, and wearing masks as appropriate. Now, to get to the issue that's on everyone's mind, which is always on everyone's mind, is what are we doing about school tomorrow? Today was a delayed opening. We studied the weather reports all evening. And based on what we saw yesterday, we felt we could safely bring students in. We felt it would be safe for our staff to travel to our school. And that's why we went with the early dismissal. Tonight, I haven't really had a chance to look at the weather report for the last 3 hours. But once we're completed with this meeting, I will be back on the internet looking at weather reports, talking to our safety team. And we also consult with the police department and the township road crew to look at the conditions. And once we know those conditions, we'll make a decision on what we're doing tomorrow. It is likely that decision will be made tomorrow morning, probably around 5 a.m. And we will notify staff and students at that time. Our options at this point would be come in on regular time, come in with a delayed opening, or have a snow day. And I mentioned snow day as opposed to a virtual day for a number of reasons. One, I think because of the nature of a snow day, where many of our staff members have their children home with them, I'm not sure we can do the full virtual to the degree that it should be done. We have snow days built into the school calendar. So that is why we're looking to do a snow day rather than a virtual day, which some people have suggested. And as I'm sure you know, some districts are using. And the last thing I want to emphasize is that sometimes we just need a break. And if we have a snow day tomorrow, it will give the staff a break, the teachers a break. It will give the students a break rather than have a virtual day where they have to sit in front of a screen, computer screen, for some or most of the day. So we're looking to make that decision. My gut feeling it will not be tonight, but rather we'll be up around 3 a.m. checking with Homedale Police, Homedale Road crew, and weather channels to see what's going on with the storm. There are really a myriad of factors we look at when making a decision on opening school. But some of the key are, does the state have power? What are the temperatures? Is it below or above freezing? What's the anticipated term of the storm? And what is the wind factor and how does that come into play? So that's how we do it. It's a fluid process and it involves a number of people from the school district as well as county, actually township officials. And that I believe concludes my report this evening.
Thank you, Lee. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. Seeing none. Do we have any HIB reports, Lee?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right, we're at committee reports then. I'm going to go with Eileen. She raised her hand.
Hi. So on December 10th, buildings, grounds, and safety met. And I just want to start off by saying this year was a good year. I got to work with Mike Petrizzo, who is my liaison to the board. And I have to say it was great working with Mike. He was always prepared for meetings. He was always ready to answer questions and respond to calls and emails. And I just wanted to thank him for all the good work he did with us this year. And I certainly look forward to working with him again next year. So thank you, Mike. So the first thing we talked about was the 2020 referendum, which our reports are getting smaller and smaller. With regards to the exterior additions and renovations and the interior alterations at SATS and the high school, right now it's just a punch list that we're working on. So we're slowly going through that list. Regarding the CCTV, Technotime completed the installation of the rough wiring for all the cameras at Indian Hill Elementary School, and they started the rough wiring at Village. And in addition, there's been some trenching commenced at the high school site for the installation of the fiber optic cables necessary for the cameras at Rogie Field. We continue to talk about the readiness planning for schools, which Dr. Seitz touched upon a little bit. The retro commissioning of the existing HVAC equipment at all schools for the district has been completed. And as a result, Greyhawk is currently preparing a commissioning report and a handoff meeting will be scheduled with the facilities department to discuss that report. And I might be repeating myself a little bit. The UVC lightings for both the elementary schools are 100% complete, and the wiring and installation has begun at the complex and will be done by the end of December. The second application of the antimicrobial tape has been put throughout the district. I think I'm getting feedback. The buildings and grounds team continues.
Hey, Steve.
Daily routine.
I'm sorry, Eileen. Steve, never mind. He did it. Never mind. Sorry, Eileen. Sorry.
Okay. The buildings and grounds team continues to perform the daily routine of detail cleaning and disinfecting of all the facilities. The district's building and grounds team continues to perform ATP testing, which started prior to all of the germ virus preventative measures, and it was gone through installation to measure and monitor the degree of cleanliness. And additionally, an environmental hygienist has also been utilized to confirm that degree of cleanliness is exemplary. The third item that we talked about is transportation. The transportation department is in regular contact with the bus companies to ensure that they will be ready when the schools open full time. Similarly, the department is consistently reaching out to the bus companies and reminding them of the safety procedures that the department expects to see delivered. The fourth thing we discussed is on the agenda tonight for approval. It's the renewal of the lawn service and turf management contract. The school business administrator and the buildings and grounds team finds that the services being performed by on-site landscape management are being done in an effective and an efficient manner. So it is recommended that that contract be renewed for the upcoming year. Next meeting hasn't been determined. We will have those dates after the new year. That's all we have.
Thanks, Eileen. Any questions for Eileen? Seeing none. Jamie, would you mind giving your report?
Sure. So the committee met on Wednesday, December 9th at 8:30 a.m. for its curriculum and instructions / special services committee meeting. The notes are a bit short, but there were many confidential items that we're not allowed to speak about in public. So what I can say is that Dr. Charney indicated that we are making inroads through data in the district. We discussed data teams in the schools. Data teams usually consist of one teacher representative from a grade, and is overseen by vice principals or principals, and volunteers are typically dedicated teachers. Team meetings should occur by grade band and are ideally utilized to customize lesson plans for areas that need work, and we need to do data analysis and targeting. The mean PSAT for the past sitting was 1130, and Dr. Charney thinks we can do better than that. He believes that 1200 is achievable. And a suggestion was made by the committee that the school offered the pre-ACT, and Dr. Charney said that he would look into it. And as a follow-up, Dr. Charney checked with the counselor and the pre-ACT is offered. However, very few students take the ACT in this district. Regarding APs, the new policy next year is that you must sit for a test if you take the course. The district is starting to pay for the AP exam this year, but students had not been advised of this. We indicated the need to make this clear to students. Two new AP courses will be introduced next year, and one will be available for freshmen. This will act to motivate students to the AP program. Dr. Charney gave a five-year NJSLA data presentation by skill set and grade from 2014 to 2019. The glaring issues are fifth and sixth grade math and ELA. The math scores in those grades in particular were not good. Dr. Charney will present this data to supervisors and in data meetings to teachers. MAP data indicates that we're having issues with reading at the early elementary level, and a new program to replace benchmarks is being considered. A new literacy program is a board goal for this year. Finally, the committee expressed its concern about the extent to which we might have fallen behind due to COVID. In the first MAP administration of this year, a number of students are behind at grade level. We have six supplemental teachers who will be working with them. With the winter administration of MAP, we can more finally determine who needs help and where. That's it.
Would we be able to make that report that Dr. Charney presented to us available on the website? Is that something we could do? Or is that not?
The data? Yeah, I think we should talk about that at our next meeting about a data presentation.
I think that would be a great idea.
Because I thought it was an excellent presentation.
Yes.
And very telling and good information. I think it was definitely shared with the board. I thought it was going to be shared with the board.
I think it was shared with the board, but so like, you mean discuss if we could have something presented to the public?
Yeah, because I didn't get the sense. Yeah, I felt like he was still going through it, but I think if we could get a presentation at the turn of the new year, that'd be great. It was so easy to really pinpoint areas of that require immediate intervention. From the it was just very good information. I thought
Linkit is amazing.
It was well presented. The information was very well presented and easily readable.
And I think, Linkit is responsible and Dr. Charney is responsible. And it's just amazing what this data, analysis program can do.
Yeah, and I think the public would appreciate it. And then we could post it online, which would be great.
I had one curriculum related question, very brief one for Jeff or for Lee, which is this new class, the Forming a Critical Lens, is that replacing the intolerance class or is the intolerance class still taking place? And is this new class also a required class? Because the intolerance class was a required elective.
Mike, I have to refer to Jeff on that one. I see he's here. I don't know if he's muted at the moment. So I don't know.
Is that a question you can answer, Jeff?
Yeah, I can speak to that.
Thanks.
intolerance course is still in place. The critical lens course was designed to target an audience in SATs that we felt needed more introduction to contemporary issues and social injustice. So it was designed. It's both a humanities and an art discipline. So students will be invited to express their concerns and their understandings, both in written form and in art. So we're excited about it because it deals with several modalities of how students creatively express themselves. And so I think there's a lot of enthusiasm behind it, and we're looking forward to it.
Is it required, Jeff, or is it an elective?
At this point, I believe it's an elective. We'll offer it, and then based on the signups, we can determine sections. But I think there's a lot of merit into making it at least a cycle requirement, but that's something we need to look at more seriously.
All right, thank you, Jeff.
Hi. Anything else? Okay. Mike Stockley, you don't have a report, right?
No, no reports.
Because we just had a meeting, so that's why it's hard. Terrence, I don't think has a report.
Board President, I just briefly share with you, we had a meeting today, and the items regarding labor and personnel were more of an executive nature, so that wouldn't be a public discussion, with the exception of the items that are on the agenda. And just a shout out to all the folks that helped make full day happen on Monday, Tuesday, and half of Wednesday. The feedback from the parents has been fantastic. Really want to thank all the folks that made that happen. We got a couple of hundred people on this call. So thank you. Thank you to everybody who helped make that happen. The feedback from our own children was incredible. Charlotte was able to focus more. Maria was happy to see the other kids. Teddy just really, truly enjoyed the day. And it just felt back normal. And with vaccines coming out now, it really feels like the beginning of the end of this pandemic. So really hats off to everybody, all the folks that are making it happen. It's a real, real big deal. And thank you. And thank you to Dr. Seitz and the entire team. So as far as the report, there's no public report. And that would conclude my comments. Just want to wish everyone a very happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a very happy New Year. And enjoy your holiday season, however you celebrate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Terrence. Sorry, I didn't see your note until after I said it. I apologize.
Thank you. No problem.
I don't think there's any other reports. Get ready. You look like you want to say something. No? Okay, just checking. Your box moved, which was weird. All right. At this point in the meeting, we ask for questions or comments from the public on agenda items only. There's two hands raised on agenda items. Steve, can you, I think Jordan Rostin, there's a Jordan on the line.
They're on now.
Okay. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, how are you? This is actually Marianne. I'm Jordan's wife.
It's not very often, Marianne, but okay. Sorry. I apologize.
I'm at 3 Chaser Court. My daughter's in the high school. I don't know if this is an agenda item, but we've just been sitting in on the thing. And if it's not, then I guess you could advise me where to go to get the answer.
I mean, we have a comment section at the end of the meeting. We're on any items only. It's up to you. I'm not that strict about it sometimes.
All right. Well, I'll ask the question. If it's not something that's appropriate for now, then I guess you could just advise me where I can.
Okay, go ahead.
My daughter is in dual enrollment. And I was wondering, like, what kind of consideration was given to the dual enrollment? Because the way the schedule is, with the periods rotating within the blocks, it's impossible to do the dual enrollment. So now she's in a situation where she has to drop out of the dual enrollment. She's already applied to all of her colleges, you know, saying that she's doing the dual enrollment. She did it for the added rigor so that she could get more merit money. And it's, you know, it's upsetting because it's potentially can affect, you know, where she gets accepted, what kind of merit money she gets. And
so Marielle, I just wanted, this is about like dual enrollment with Brookdale Community College.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I got a Brookdale Community College question that I have to ask later on in the meeting. So Lee, I don't know if you want to answer this now, or I mean, you can answer it now.
Well, you know, I don't have an answer. This is something that we have to go back to the high school and find out what's going on with the dual enrollment folks. I would expect that this was addressed, but again, I'll speak to the principal, and I'm sure he'll involve guidance, and we'll get an answer on this question.
I mean, has anyone given you an answer otherwise, Marielle, or it's just that now that we're going full-time, you're concerned? Just curious, so that when Dr. Seitz follows up, he knows. Well, she left. Okay, that's fine. Dr. Seitz will follow up. Okay. Please follow up with them. I'll spell their last name is R-O-S-E-N-S-T-R-A-C-H. Yes. Okay. Mrs. Honeywell has a question.
Okay, she should be on.
Thanks, Steve. She's just muted still. Mrs. Honeywell, if you can unmute yourself.
I'm so sorry. I don't have a question. I don't know how that happened.
Okay.
Sorry.
You can make one up.
I know. I feel like I should make right one now. Up. Sorry.
All right. It's not that much of an agenda to even make something up on. I don't know. All right. Okay. So since we have no questions, can I have a motion for items number 1 through 4? 7 through 26.
Move.
Second.
Discussion, any questions, comments about any of the agenda items? If not, cover roll call.
Ms. Flynn.
Yes.
Mr. Sockel.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Bremonti.
Yes.
Mrs. Collins.
Yes.
Mr. Wall.
Yes.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Item number 6, approval of non-monetary donation from the Village School PSA. Resolved that the board accept with gratitude a non-monetary donation from Village School PSA of 6 expanded metal picnic tables valued not to exceed $4,273.61. Have a motion.
Move. Make a motion.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, cover roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Sockel.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, thank you.
Mrs. Bremonti.
Yes, thank you so much.
Mrs. Collins.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Hammer.
Very much.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, thank you very much.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Mr. Petrizzo, did I get all the resolutions? Because I was just looking at the agenda I printed out, and I'm not sure if I got them all. Is up to 26? Because I don't think I printed the next pages in print.
You said you only did up to 26?
Yeah, so it's up to 35.
Yeah.
Give me a sec. Sorry. Is there any of them I have to pull?
No, it doesn't look like it.
Nope.
1 second. Oh. Felt like an extremely short agenda. I read it earlier, but this might be printed, the one that was sent to me earlier today. All right. Yes, I remember these. All right. Board members, with my apologies, but can I please have a motion for items number 27 through 35?
Move.
Second.
Any discussion? See a none, cover roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn.
Yes.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Briamonte.
Yes.
Mrs. Collins.
Yes.
Mr. Wall.
Yes.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Any board members, do you have any old business? Any new business?
I had a little new business.
You do, Mike Sapo. Go ahead.
This is the season for thanks and gratitude. And over the last year and a half, I have received an amazing amount of support for the health battle that I have been waging with pancreatic cancer. In 2 days, I will be completing 3 weeks of radiation. And after that radiation session on Friday, my treatment ends. We don't know what's next, but at this present moment, the cancer is in remission. We're just hoping that the tumor itself will be obliterated by concentrations of radiation that I'm surprised hasn't lit me up and make me glow in the dark right now. But I really did want to take a moment to express so deep in my heart the response that I've received by so many people over the last 18 months. I will never, ever be able to duplicate or even, you know, truthfully express my feelings on this. We'll know in about 2 months if the treatment has been successful and that I move on. But, you know, the fact that this, even this particular cancer, as rare as it has been, has touched so many members, even on this board or former board members. I just find it, you know, shockingly amazing. And certainly I hate to use the M word, miraculous, to even be here to thank all of you today. So I did want to at least have take this opportunity to use that. Thank you. And I wish everybody a wonderful and happy holiday. I certainly will have one.
Congrats, Mike. You're an inspiration.
That's great news, Mike.
Congratulations,
Mike.
It just shows how much you can get back from being a board member.
Yeah. Board members make you so strong, you fight back cancer and everything else that they can throw at you. Yeah. Thank you for putting that all in perspective there.
But I think it demonstrates, you know, like I said last meeting, in terms of being board members, we become very close. Even when we disagree about things, we all share so much of this experience that I don't think anyone understands except for the ones that have done it before. So Mike, we're always here for you and we're so happy that you're still here, even though we still give you a hard time.
Well, I am your standard comic relief, but I here to support all of you as well forever. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for everything that you do. It's truly appreciated.
Can I just say one thing,
since we're
digressing a bit? I just wanted to thank all of the board members, and I want to explain to the public, because I do feel that sometimes they don't really understand how dedicated we all are and how much you work and how, I think as board members, we did that crazy election and made crazy signs and did all of this stuff because we want the best for the children and we want the best for the school. And I really feel like this board has united really together to try to do what is best for the children of this town. And I'm a little beklempt, but I so appreciate that we've stood together and really tried to have a vision and had Dr. Seitz help us do this, because I really would like the town to know and everyone to know that really we're flying uncharted territory. Maybe we're not always doing the right thing, the best, but we're always trying to do the best. And doing the best for the children is really our number one priority. So I just wanted to share that I really appreciate everyone's help this whole since March.
Thank you, Elizabeth. You've been a tremendous contributor to the board. So Holmdale did a good job putting you here. So thank you, Elizabeth, for everything that you did.
Yeah, I'm kind of quiet at meetings, but I'm not otherwise.
You're not quiet. You're fine. But thank you.
Hey, Ricky. Recognize Jamie. Hello.
Well, I was going to hold Jamie until the end. I should have put it separate. I'm going to take questions or comments from the public on non-agenda. Well,
can I bring up a new business item?
You can, a new business. Sure. Go ahead, Joe.
So given that we are, and maybe this has been addressed already, but given that we can move to virtual pretty readily, is there a way that if we don't use snow days, or is there a reason that we would still continue to use snow days versus immediately going to virtual days once we have a snow day that happens, and being able to cut some of the days towards the end of the school year if we don't use them? Is there a way that we can plan for that if necessary?
Joe, we have considered that. And when I sent out a memo to the staff on Monday, thanking them for the smooth reopening on the 14th, I did indicate at that time that we were monitoring the storm and that we would consider, if necessary, closing school or going full virtual. I received feedback from a number of people, teachers, who didn't necessarily think the full virtual was the way to go because of the fact that the students and the staff would be in front of their TV screens, their computer screens, for the full day. Secondly, they pointed out that chances are great that their children would not be in school that day, so they would have the need to address their children's needs as well as their students' needs. Someone suggested a shortened day. So that was all considered. The reason I like the snow day is that it gives everybody a break. The teachers and staff members who have children who are not in school can devote their time to their children. Gives all students a break from what's been going on, which is, school and the changes that we're making. So that is why I was leaning towards the snow day. If we were to happen to close tomorrow, I still would anticipate going with the snow day. And then when we're back, get more feedback from our teachers and the association on what would be an effective virtual day. So I think in the short term, this month of December, the snow day is appropriate. Long term, if we can come up with what is an acceptable format for a full virtual day and use those two snow days to either increase the spring break or shorten the school year, I'm more than open to considering that.
I appreciate that. Thanks. And I are, obviously, we want to make sure that the staff and are able to handle it and that kind of stuff. But it kind of makes you think about different ways to, now that we're all virtual and kind of making it easier, different ways to doing things more flexibly, yep. So especially also for kids that are sick from home, being able to see recorded versions of things so they're able to get up to speed more quickly. So anyway.
My son gave me an angry look when he walked by and he heard no snow days. So the eighth graders. So I was like, I don't think they're going to love what? No snow days? What's going on?
You got to sell it right, Peter. It's more summer days, more summer days.
Yes, you got to sell it, man. Good sell.
Terrence?
Yes, thank you, Board President. Just one brief item that the discussion can be carried into 2021. We did start discussing again the study that the state is having as far as a later start time for high schools and the topic of the what the appropriate start time should be or could be. Now that the referendum is complete, that's a topic of further discussion, but just sharing with the board, the rest of the board and the public that the concept of revisiting the start time for the high school is an ongoing conversation that we should be picking back up in 2021.
Hey, Terrence, that would be interesting to hear. If you remember about a year or so ago, I think the governor, they came out with some legislation where I think they highlighted 5 or 6 districts that were supposed to start that pilot program.
Correct.
I'm guessing it probably just, I don't want to say died on the vine, but I'm guessing it probably went nowhere. Because I remember I reached out to, I guess, the legislature, whoever it was, and there was no, like, they might, I don't even know if they identified the districts and that was it. So
I think Dr. Seitz referred to it earlier. There may be, I was just going to say, Peter, Dr. Seitz referred to it earlier today during our subcommittee call that there's an ongoing study that we are, the results appear to be late. But hopefully that we will get some feedback on that note. But if folks do some surveying of the data out there from pediatricians and associations of medical associations, it seems pretty clear that if we could address the school, the sports scheduling, the transportation issues and things of that nature, that we can really speak to the natural biology of the children of having a later start time.
Well, certainly the adoption of a rotating schedule at the SAT school, along with the high school, and the efforts that we've made to try to begin to view that building as one building, I think bodes well for future efforts to create a consistent later start for not just the high school, but for the SAT school, which I assume would help us when we're dealing with our bus routes and everything like that.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Board President. I wanted to share that with the folks.
Thanks, Terrence. Anything non-Jamie related? Again, I'll say it later, but I'll say it again. Thank you to the staff. Thank you to the administration. Thank you to our principals and teachers who made the full day possible. I think I received nothing but glowing remarks and thanks from a number of parents who were happy that their kids were going back. And I mean, there's a lot of struggles of people having their kids at home all this time. So I think it was that normalcy was really something a lot of these kids needed for all different types of reasons. So a lot of people did share that with me to thank you all. And I wanted to express that to everyone. My kids haven't said much to me about it anyway. So I have nothing to share on a personal level. And I have one kid that's been going all the time, goes to school full time all the time anyway. So makes me curious as a board member why we're not in full time all the time. But anyway, I digress. Let's see. We have some questions and comments from the public. Mary Ann, Steve, can you put Mary Ann on, please?
Yep, she should be on now.
Hi, Mary Ann. Oh, I have a question. Hi, Marianne. If you could say your name and your address, that'd be great.
Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay, it's me again. And Marianne from 3 Chaser.
Oh, it's Marianne. Yes. Hi, Marianne.
I somehow got kicked off and I just missed everything for the last 20 minutes. But I just had one more comment about the dual enrollment. Okay. I don't know if you considered this or anyone considered this, but the way that it possibly could work is if you still have the rotating periods within the blocks, but don't rotate the days. So in other words, have like every Monday is an A day, every Tuesday is a B day, every Thursday C day, and every Friday is a D day. And then you just rotate the Wednesdays, A, B, C, D for a month. This will allow the dual enrollment kids to be able to pick their days to take their college classes, but it also allows for kids that are working to know like when they're available each day.
Okay, that's a good suggestion. I wrote down your last name before, and Dr. Seitz is going to reach out to everyone to make sure you get some clarity on this issue. Okay. And question to you, Marianne, you didn't get told yet that I didn't know if it was your daughter or your son, do it further. It's your daughter. Yeah. You haven't heard anything yet, though, have you?
Well, I did reach out to her counselor. I haven't talked to the principal yet. They are like talking to each other, the counselor and the principal. So I'm hoping that, you know, they'll figure something out.
Okay.
This would be a good solution. I don't know if it's possible, but it would be a good solution.
Okay. So Dr. Seitz is definitely going to reach out and get you the information you need and get you an answer on that.
Okay, that would be great. And I just want to say thank you to everyone also, the teachers, the administrators, everybody who's working so hard. And it's great that the kids are back in school full time and, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. So, and, you know, have a great holiday, everyone.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Michelle Richards.
She should be on.
Okay. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Hi, Michelle. Yeah. You're a little speak up, that's all. But we can hear you.
Okay. Michelle Richards, 63 Chestnut Ridge Road. So I have three kids in the Homedale School District at three different schools. I want to thank everyone for what I think was a successful return to school on Monday. I had very delighted children who are able to see their peers and their teachers, so thank you so much. My question is about the decisions in having schools remain open versus closed, and if they are made independent of each other. In full transparency, I'm a little shocked when the last minute decision to close all schools was made the Friday afternoon before returning on Monday, particularly for the elementary schools where there wasn't really a spike that I was aware of in the COVID cases. It seemed that the spike was really in the high school and maybe in Zach's. But just wanted to get some more clarity around determining the schools independently from each other. And if, like, for example, Village or Indian Hill could possibly stay open while maybe some of the others, if we saw the trend to go up.
So if
all that,
well, some of it, if I understand correctly, at the end, you were asking whether we could look at each of the four schools independently in terms of whether they remain open or closed. Is that your question?
Sorry, my internet is getting choppy. So I'm wondering if some of the schools could remain open while some are closed, or if the decision is an all or none.
Okay. Well, the short answer is that we look at each school independently. Obviously, if we have a school open, or three schools open and one closed, that creates, well, let me rephrase that. If we have three schools that are in person and one school that is virtual, that's very doable and certainly something we would consider depending on the circumstances.
Michelle, does that make sense? It depends. I think at the end, the question is a typical lawyer answer, Dr. Seitz, it depends.
Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, like I said, I would just appreciate, you know, if the virtual learning is very difficult for young children. And so I was very anxious to get my littlest one off to school, particularly since Village didn't really seem to have many COVID cases. So I was disappointed that the decision was made to close that school in particular, and just hoping that in the future, and maybe it sounds like it was an independent decision of the other schools.
Yeah, let me just expand on this a little bit, because I think the board in particular has to understand, and I know everyone understands we need 180 days of instruction. If we don't go with a virtual day and close a school, that day has to be made up. And that creates additional costs that, if it happened a number of times, could be significant. In regard to what happened on the 7th, believe it or not, while the village numbers were low, they fell within the guidelines from the state of New Jersey Department of Health to close. So even though they didn't have the 18 that the high school had, they had, I believe, four, and that is more than enough under the Department of Health guidelines to close. But again, going back to your original point, if we have to close a school and go virtual, there are no problems. But we would have to go virtual, because trying to make up a day becomes really next to impossible, because you might have to bring in those students at that school on a Saturday or over spring break, or you may have to extend the school year for that one class, or excuse me, that one school. So ideally, we don't have to close any schools for the balance of this school year. If we have to close one or more, we'll go virtual so we get the day of instruction, because it becomes very cumbersome trying to bring students in. And I've done this. I've had days where I've had to bring a school in on a Saturday. And you have to do it, and you have to make it a day of school, and it becomes very challenging for the district, and the expenses become significant as well. But again, I think we're at a point where, for the short term, if we have to close a school, we'll go virtual and leave it at that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Yeah, I know, Michelle, like the board and Dr. Seitz, it was so weird when we were in virtual right after the Thanksgiving. As board members, we get emails from different entities, you know, different educational entities, and we were all of a sudden getting emails about the need for the elementary schools to get back to school, because they were finding that. And that's what that was. I know that's what my school inbox was getting filled with, that type of research coming out, the impact on the little kids. So I think the board and Dr. Seitz and everyone realizes that, and I think we as a board realized this back in March, April, and May, when we approved a lot of the improvements to mitigate the spread of COVID in our schools, was that we realized we've got to get our kids back to school. And, you know, as far as when September 14th rolled around, this school from a health and safety perspective was safe and ready for the kids to come back. They came back, and it was safe for a full day schedule. I mean, I think Dr. Seitz has been working very hard to get us there, because that's another bunch of complaints that fills our inboxes. When are we going full day? When are we going full day? Like, once we opened, it was then, okay, when are we going full day? When are we going full day? When are we going full day? That's the mantra and complaints we would get from parents. And concerns that the kids need that full day environment. I think at the last meeting, I mentioned how when I told Ms. King, like, I got surrounded at a soccer field that I desperately tried not to be surrounded by, but I was surrounded by a lot of very anxious parents in that seventh, eighth grade level that are concerned that our kids are falling behind by not being in school, by not having a full day instruction. So we're doing, this board, this district is doing everything we can to try to bring some normalcy to this educational year the best that we can. I think we have created an environment that is second to none from a health and safety perspective. It's been noted by many people. I think if you ask Mr. Green even, who represents a number of school districts, there's not many school districts. There's no other school districts that's doing what we're doing. And they're still operating. Right, Paul?
Absolutely.
Tell me that all the time.
Yeah. You guys are remarkable, really.
So, and there's a lot of Catholic schools. Jamie knows this. I know this, that, you know, the kids are in school full day since the beginning of September. So we'll get those complaints from parents. Well, why aren't my kids in full day? If that's what, why can they do and we can't in Homedale? What's wrong with Homedale? There's nothing wrong with Homedale. We did whatever we could to make it happen, and we're doing it, and we're working with our teachers. It's a lot. We do have a K through 12 school district, so that there's a lot of challenges. And as you know, Michelle, these buildings and these COVID decisions are sometimes made on a building by building basis. It's also requires things change rapidly. One day everything's fine, the next day all of a sudden everything turns around. I'm glad everyone enjoyed their Halloween, to all of our favorite high school kids out there. I'm glad we all had a good Halloween, because that's where all these numbers came from. That's where it shows. That's when all the numbers started going up. So hopefully we won't have that again. Hopefully everyone has a really nice holiday. But we at Homedale, we're going to make sure that this school is safe, because these kids need a place to go and to learn. And I'm just hopeful with all the new developments, all the vaccine, the more information we're learning about COVID, this will be behind us as soon as possible.
Yeah, so Vicki, I'm sorry, on that point, so thank you so much for those comments. The decision, you know, that was made at the last minute to not reopen, you know, I think Dr. Sykes, you addressed some of the data behind that decision, and I think that transparency is really key when making those types of announcements, so that it's not left to speculation of the public in, you know, us kind of trying to wonder or decipher for ourselves why that decision was made. So thank you for giving us that information tonight. And Vicki, thank you for your comments. I absolutely agree. Homedale is a very safe environment, hence why I was very excited for my kids to return to school. And I'm so thankful that we've been able to provide that for them.
Thanks, Michelle. Mr. Dillon's on the line.
Okay, he should be on.
Hi, Mr. Dillon.
Still muted.
I know. Mr. Dillon, Steve, you want to unmute him? You think it's an accident? All right, Steve, you want to move him off?
Sure.
Thank you. It's probably an accident. All right, Denise keeps getting pushed down. I'm going to call on Denise King now. I'm sorry. One second, Denise. Lila is going to talk first.
That's actually my daughter's name, but I'm Amanda. I'm on Lexington.
Amanda.
Hi. I just want to say really quick, we're fully virtual, you know, for personal reasons, and I respect everybody's views right. And everything. But I did want to say thank you to especially our kindergarten teacher, because my child has actually learned so much, and she's doing so well, and she's kindergarten and special needs. So I do want to say thank you to Miss Varga, because she's been amazing. So how you guys set that up was really cool, and I appreciate that we have the option.
Me too. I'm glad and that's the other thing. That's the other piece. That's a good reminder. It's good that everyone has an option to do what's best for their family, and it is what it is. But I'm so glad she's having a great year. I hope you have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
Ms. King. Hi, Denise. Can you hear us? There she is.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Denise.
Regrettably, I'm coming here for a little bit different type of situation. Just so people who don't know me, I'm Denise King, and I'm president of Homedale Township Education Association. And I'm currently actually sitting in here under quarantine due to exposure at school. So I wanted to make sure that everybody understands that you can get exposed. And yes, you've put in plenty of things to help prevent that. But once you put people in close proximity, that, you know, you can get exposed. And that is one of our biggest concerns. But I wanted to take the opportunity today to talk to you. I have a speech that I've written that's based on situations that I've gotten from all of my members, that they have some great concerns. So I want to talk about leadership a little bit today. According to the Center of Creative Leadership, There are certain leadership skills that make up the backbone of leadership. Without these skills, true leadership is impossible. And those are, and I quote, the ability to delegate, communication, self-awareness, gratitude, learning agility, influence, empathy, courage, respect. Effective leaders realize they are part of a team. Our team at Homedel includes students, parents, teachers, the Board of Education, and administration. Our team should work collaboratively to make the best to our community. Good leaders don't pretend to know all the answers, and they don't do anything without consulting the more experienced members of their team. Leadership requires open lines of communication, shared decision-making, collaboration, follow through to ensure success. Interim Superintendent Dr. Lee Seitz has failed to demonstrate these leadership skills. As a result, he's putting Homedel students, staff, and community at risk. The ability to delegate. He's failed to include staff in decisions that not only directly affect them, but are in the area of their expertise. For example, last minute changes to AP class testing requirements without input from AP teachers, last minute changes in school profile used for colleges without input from staff, abolished the position of guidance director during a pandemic mid-year while a district goal is SEL, abandoned the CDC recommended 6 feet distancing between students in order to open schools full day with full student population. This puts students, staff, and their families at risk for COVID-19. Self-awareness. Added new quarterly assessments in the high school with no evidence that the data is reliable since they are administered virtually. There is no input from staff on the educational value of these tests and the feasibility of these assessments in the middle of a pandemic. Empathy and lack of respect for staff forced the implementation of new software program with little opportunity for quality professional development or a reasonable timeframe to learn the program. Without a discussion with staff, a workable timetable for implementing new programs, adding this to stress of the current unprecedented school year. Open schools this week in the height of a pandemic when staff expressed their concerns regarding proximity of desks, lunch without masks, increasing risk to COVID-19 exposure. And I attended today a WEC who does environmental and came to our schools. They made some suggestions that we could have discussed prior to implementation so that we could feel more comfortable about lunch during the school day. In order to open the full schedule earlier than January, newly negotiated and long-term contract language, which would enable teachers to plan more in-person and remote learning, was ignored. Influence and courage. Made frequent changes to schedule without addressing the input from staff or the community as a whole. Announced in 12-2, schools were reopened and then fully back in person with no detailed plans. On Friday, he announced we'd go virtual in the following week with no direction to staff, while staff was told to report to the buildings, some becoming exposed to COVID-19 and are currently quarantined due to exposure. No clear plan was developed over the summer to move from a hybrid to a full-time in-person schedule. In fact, all involved were told that the schedule adopted in the summer would remain intact throughout the pandemic. The greatest failure, I feel, is communication. It's been non-existent in some instances and others last minute without prior notice. For example, about the remote, I learned 5 minutes before the rest of the population learned. And quite honestly, I already had received texts from people saying the community found out before we did that we were going remote. Staff completed surveys and we presented it to Dr. Seitz. This survey highlighted many major concerns that were never fully addressed or resolved. An example of that was people talking about the children going back full days and there's still virtually students in classrooms. How are we addressing the virtual as the in-person, as well as how educationally appropriate is this for students to be on the computer for a full day in a virtual setting and in an in-person setting when they have the virtual component. During the pandemic, no clear timelines for full opening was provided to all staff prior to being introduced to parents and community stakeholders. The district staff feels overwhelmed unappreciated, and concerned for themselves and family members. We all want to get back to normal, but we need leadership. Our current leadership is undermining the district's ability to provide a safe environment and the instruction we feel our students deserve. We want an opportunity to be able to plan and implement something fully that we know is going to be successful. And at this point, we don't feel that that is the case. When you're saying figure it out as you go along, that's not a solution. As a leader, I regularly seek input from my members and keep lines of communications open. I recently surveyed my members and they overwhelmingly agreed that there is little faith in Dr. Seid's leadership. So it's with deep regret that the Homedale Township Education Association is forced to take a vote of no confidence in this district's interim superintendent. We implore the Homedale Township Board of Education to start the search for a full-time, dedicated superintendent who is vested in our community. And we'd like you to look at releasing him from his duties. His leadership during the most recent COVID spike has been non-existent and demonstrated a lack of understanding of the seriousness of the issue. Homedale Township Public School students and staff deserve better. We deserve to feel safe, respected, and confident that our school leader will lead us through these crises, not further into it. And I wanna say, I've been here 27 years and I've been through a lot of superintendents. Proactive is the way I like to be, not reactive. And my members needs the safety and security of knowing that a plan is in place and ready to be implemented and that their concerns are taken seriously without the changing on a daily basis. So I thank you for your time. And it's with, like I said, deep regret that I had to follow through on this situation.
Denise, did you get, thank you for your comments. I wrote down some of the things that you said in terms of, because I would rather not respond to all of them, which I will not, but I do want to make it clear to the public, because I guess that's the point we're trying to do here, right? We're trying to make some point in a public way rather than having a communication about it. So let me make a few points clear to the public that upsets me as a board member in which I was elected to represent this community and give my time, and you know, Denise, how much time, and I don't think you will dispute how much time I put in and my current board puts in and prior boards put in to make this a great school district and support the school district. I was very upset as a board president when I came to learn this summer that whatever plan that this board had been represented this board on multiple occasions as to how to reopen the school was never completed. I thought that was I was shocked and stunned that all the people within our district couldn't get it together to get a plan together as to reopen schools. When we closed school in March, the goal always was by this board was how are we gonna open, how are we open? Because we knew in Homedale, we have the resources, we have the ability to lead educationally through this pandemic. And we expected the best from everyone who works here to make sure we could lead through that pandemic. And money is not an option. I don't think, as Mr. Green has said, I have said it multiple times. And Denise, I think you'd be hard pressed to find any school district that has done what we've done as a school district. We are a leader in terms of reacting to something that's unprecedented and creating the safest environment possible for the students and the staff to come back to. And they should feel very comfortable to come back here. So I want to first start off with, there was no plan in place, which is unacceptable. Okay. Then you have these interim people coming in and they have to develop a plan. I wouldn't think it would be that difficult because that's what had been told to me for months that had been going on by all the administration. Everyone was supposedly doing a plan. Not the case. So I will go back to my comment is as of September 14th, 2020, anyone asked me, we were ready to open and we were ready to open full time. Unfortunately, we couldn't because there was too many roadblocks put in the place of in an instructional level to open. And quite honestly, that is unacceptable, but we've been patient. Okay. And there's no reason why we can't open now. If there's a spike, we will react. These are unprecedented times. And I would have expected that there'd be more support for this interim superintendent and our interim assistant superintendent to help them through this process. But my observation is that they're not getting much help, and that's not good. It's not good. And it's unacceptable. And they've been nothing but patient with everyone. So at this time,
I'd like to respond.
Denise, I'm not having a go. I'm not doing a back and forth because right now at this time, the board has asked me to do what I'm about to do. Can I have a motion for a vote of confidence for Dr. Sykes?
Move.
Second.
Any discussion by any board members? Does anyone have anything to add to what I said? Because I have a whole bunch, but I'm not going to belabor it.
Yes,
I add one thing, but Terrence, go ahead, Terrence.
Just very briefly, this vote has absolutely nothing to do with Holmdel Schools, this union vote. This no confidence vote is from a union representative that represents the Monmouth County Union, which is an arm of the sclerotic NJEA. The NJEA has tried to shut the schools down across the state, fighting with Governor Murphy to do it. It may work in Patterson and Rahway and Elizabeth and Newark, where those poor folks are trying to work and earn a living and have their kids in schools where they count on basic services from their teachers and the union to shut them down. What I know is that this has nothing to do with Holmdel teachers as a whole. The teachers are thrilled to be there. This is union leadership political nonsense as an arm of the NJEA and the Monmouth County group. Holmdel has spent nearly $1.5 million in getting prepared from ultraviolet lights, bipolar ionization, bacteria resistant services, and every means and method of ensuring that things are safe. The state, the pediatric groups, the governor, Dr. Fauci, Democrats, Republicans, all say kids should be in school. This is total nonsense and an absolute failure on the union's part. It has no reflection on the parents and on the students. And frankly, it's a slap in the mouth of every kid in the school, including my kids that are still in the school. It's a slap in their mouth. And it also has no representation at all, I feel, of the actual people who are getting it done. I think the union has failed here. You've gone way beyond where you should have stayed. The kids need to be back in school. This has nothing to do with Holmdel Township.
If the issue—
Right now, there's a motion on the table, and it's now discussion amongst the board members.
Well, can we discuss what's actually on the table, which is the fact—
Don't do it.
We've stood silent for too long.
Enough.
Mr. Green, can you please advise when there's a motion on the table, the discussion is limited to board members, correct?
That's correct. Only the board members may participate in the discussion at this time.
Okay.
The issue at hand that is being raised by Denise as the representative of the union is a question of leadership. Listening to her roll call of complaints, it seems in many ways the challenge that she's offering is that people aren't getting along as well as she wishes they would, that there is a sense that the superintendent is asking people to do things that other people don't want. In fact, what Lee is doing is he's following one of the principles outlined by Colin Powell, who said, being responsible sometimes means pissing people off. And I think sometimes that's what's going to happen when you bring in new leaders with new ideas, who see things with a fresh eyes. And I would really like to see now, instead of the infighting and the conflict, I'd really like to see these different groups sit back and say, you know, maybe it is time for us to think about doing things a little differently. Maybe it would be better if we kept an open mind. We took advantage of the experience that Lee brings, which is over 30 years in supervisory positions, mainly as a superintendent. So I think it's very difficult for me to even accept any argument that would suggest that a man who has been a successful superintendent in multiple school districts and has a track record, the track record that he brings to this district, we're blessed to have him here. I will certainly support him and would vote no for any no confidence vote on Lee.
Well, we're voting for a confidence vote, Mike, just so we're clear.
Well, I will vote for confidence. I'm saying I would not vote against voting for confidence for Lee.
I have to say that these gentlemen, and Lee especially, they're the best thing that happened to this district. We're making people responsible for a district that in my mind started to go downhill and become mediocre. Mrs. King, we've stood back. We've stood silent like we've always had to do in many board meetings. I've had it. Your behavior is disappointing. You're bringing us down as a district. I don't want it anymore.
Enough. We stood silent for too long.
Anyone else?
I'd like just to say, I was voted by the people of this town to do the best for the families and children of this community. And I think the best for the families and children of this community is having Dr. Seitz as our interim superintendent, and certainly Dr. Charney, who has done unbelievable work looking at the data of our performance of our children, which our school community is really going to have to see. And I think, I just strayed a little bit, but I think very much what the school, what people write to me, what people text me, what people call me on the phone exasperated, what parents want is a full day school. If it has to pivot to be remote because their numbers go up, okay. But we're high school students, middle school students, they are missing huge chunks of their courses. They are not going to be prepared. And then next year, if the tests go down, we're going to have to hear about how it was because of the pandemic. But we should be, I know other schools, school districts that have been full day all year long, and or even since October, I'll say, I wouldn't exaggerate, since October. And we still, from 7 to 12, are not full day. And the community wants full day. So I just want you to let you know that that is what people tell me. They want their children in school full day. And I know Dr. Seitz and I know Dr. Charney would like to have the children in full day. Thank you.
Anyone else? The only thing, other thing I want to add for Denise and for your membership, when it came time for evaluating whether or not to get you a contract and to approve your contract, and I told you this, Ms. King, Dr. Seitz was the teacher's biggest proponent. So I'm really, in all my interactions with him, I've seen nothing but someone who supports education, supports teachers, and literally supported your union to get that contract done. And we were told to do that, that would put everyone at peace. But I guess no one was at peace because we don't want to open the schools. There's all these complaints. So I see that we have to, a number of your teachers want to talk to us. So I'm going to go to that unless after our motion. Eileen, what's up?
Yeah, one of the things I did want to say is I think Dr. Seitz has been really good at wanting to listen to everyone. And one of the things that I've really appreciated about him since he's been on is at his last few board meetings, he said, if anybody has suggestions, anybody about how to get this done, how to make this work for all parties, please call me, please email me. He's been very forthcoming at saying anyone can reach out to him with a potential plan or suggestion and he'll look into it. And honestly, that's been really refreshing to hear that he's so willing to listen to all the parties, including the teachers. And I think that open door policy is really priceless. So that's the observation I've had at this point.
All right.
Vicki, just one other thing.
Hi, Joe. And then I'll do Kate.
So, as a former president, we work closely with the superintendent and the staff and the teachers and the teachers union. So there's often times when I've observed, as a leader, you have to make some hard calls and not everybody's going to be happy with that. And Dr. Seitz has made a few calls that not everybody's, both the parents and the teachers have not been happy with, but he's had to do it because of what he thought was best for the community, for the safety of the children, and for the staff and the welfare and the education of our kids. Denise, you mentioned in your monologue there that, you have to take consultation and listen to everybody and react to everybody and address everybody's concerns to their fullest. That's not necessarily what a leader has to do. They have to make hard choices and hard decisions at times. I mean, a lot of parents were very upset when we had to close the school, but he made a call based on the number of illnesses that maybe had more information about what was going on with the staff, with the COVID illnesses with a lot of the kids and staff, and he had to make a call, and he did. And that's what a true leader does, is makes calls as necessary with all the relevant information that they have, and that's what he's been doing. I also appreciate the fact that he's been very transparent, and Jeff as well has been very transparent with all the things that are going on which we didn't as a board necessarily have in the past. And that's one thing that I think some people probably don't see in the community, but we as a Board of Education have seen major changes happening. And without transparency and without all the information, and he's very data focused, and that's what we as a board want to be, we can't make good decisions. And he's been very much sharing that information with the board and making good decisions based on the data that he has in there. So in terms of what I've seen, while I'm, you know, I may not have agreed with all the decisions at the same time, I don't have all the information that he has readily at hand. And I definitely support him as a superintendent. And I've seen how this in the very short time frame that he's had to get this school district up and running and ready, along with all the staff and the everybody pulling together to get this school ready to open virtually and then open full time with all the aspects of the building, the all the various things that Terrence laid out. That wasn't an easy task. And he had to coordinate that and make that all happen in a two month period. So I think this district and this town is very much in his debt. He's done a tremendous job, and he has my full support.
Just a really brief addendum.
Well, Mike, let me get to Pete and then I'll go to you, please.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll be quick, but Vicky, you were spot on with almost everything you said. And even when Lee came here in the summer, he not just once, but multiple times, he was imploring us, hey, through my experience, it's in your best interest to get this contract settled, especially with what's going on with, you know, around our district, around the county and the state. And I think he would love any proactiveness. I know I've asked many times, hey, what are you getting from the schools? How's it going? And, you know, he's thirsting for it. I mean, obviously he doesn't have the history in this district. So if anyone came up and said, hey, can we do this and that? I'm sure he's going to have an open ear to it. And I know since before Thanksgiving, obviously our goal was to get back to school full time. And then obviously the numbers dictated what we had to do and what was safe for the students and the staff. And he did that. And, you know, I know the numbers in Village Indian Hill School are through the roof of the amount of kids that are in school right now. High school and SATs a lot less, but parents are going to do, they have the option right now of doing what's best for themselves, and everyone's staying safe, and we've done all the right things. So absolutely have my vote of confidence without a doubt. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. Mike?
Just a brief final addendum based on the comments that I've heard after I spoke that were really relevant and struck home with me. In my time in business and as well in different organizations, I have encountered a number of what I would call transformational leaders, people who come in and they're there to make change. And often those people approach their tasks with a kind of negative viewpoint. What can I tear down? What do I eliminate? What do I replace? What is refreshing about Lee is Lee doesn't have that attitude as far as the conversations I have. He has a very positive approach to how he views Homedale, the assets of Homedale, and how we tackle the problems facing Homedale by utilizing our assets, not by destroying and not by beginning some sort of scorched earth policy. He has repeatedly reminded us as members of the board about teacher performance and places that are working right, not focusing on things that are wrong. He provides tremendous balance that I've not seen in many leaders when confronted with the challenges that he's facing. He shows the gravitas that you would expect from a true leader. True leaders are not meant to be everyone's friend. True leaders are meant to get things done. And the fact that there are some people who may be irritated by his methods does not diminish the fact that when you look at things from the overall perspective, in its totality, Lee has done a tremendous job in the first 5 months of his tenure. And I'm truly looking forward to the things that we're going to see in 2021 under his leadership and with the support of Jeff, and I sure hope with the support of the other administrators in this district. And that would be my final comment.
Thank you, Mike. Anything else? And I know if Brian was here, he would support this vote and would be also upset to hear that there's that much negativity being directed towards Dr. Seitz. So I just want Dr. Seitz, I want you to know that. And I know Brian would appreciate me saying that publicly. See no more comments. Can I have a roll call, please, Mike?
Ms. Flynn?
Yes, I hereby support Dr. Seitz as our interim superintendent of schools.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes, I also support Dr. Seitz as our interim superintendent.
Mr. Reddy.
I'll just give you a strong yes, Mike.
Mrs. Briamonte.
Absolutely.
Mrs. Collins.
Absolutely and positively yes.
Mr. Wall.
I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with 3,000 students and their parents in support of Dr. Seitz and recognizing that this was a cheap union parlor trick from the state NJEA that does not play in Homedale Township. The parents, the students, and myself on behalf of the board here stand firmly behind Dr. Seitz and ask the HTEA to look very closely in the mirror on their path forward.
Yes, definitely. Mrs. Urbanski.
I very much support Dr. Seitz and Dr. Czerny and stand by them 100%.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Steve, next on my list is an A. Pagan.
Okay, that should be good.
Thank you. Mr. or Ms. A. Pagan? Okay, Steve, that might be an accident. Let's go with Lisa.
Okay.
Lisa, did you mean to raise your hand? Lisa? You did? No? Okay, Ms. Jasper. Ms. Jaspers, did you want to say anything? Or is that, I guess people accidentally hit the hand. No? All right, Ms. Pucci, Anne?
Yeah.
Hello? All right, I think these are all. And then there's a Michelle. Michelle? No?
We have a Natty.
And then Natty Estak? You try that, Steve. I'm sorry, Steve. Am I going too quick?
No, no, it's fine.
I apologize to you, Steve. Doing a great job. Thank you, Steve. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
This is Natty Estak, and I just want to say I applaud the board for what they just did. It's about time. Thank you.
Thanks, Natty.
Yep.
All right. I think those are the Michelle and the Lisa. They had their Kathleen Taylor. I think it's Katie Taylor, but Katie Taylor.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello.
Yes,
thank
hello.
Thank you. Hi, thank you. I'm at 24 Spring Valley Drive. And I just wanted to share a concern with you. Sure. One, I think it's very important that we consider the thought that we are a community and that if we want our kids to be going into school every day, whether full day or not, then we have to have a working, communicating relationship between the Board of Education, between the community and parents, and between the staff. And many of these staff members have been here when we had the highest rankings. They are teaching in the same way. They are the same people. And so I question, if we're concerned about the rankings going down, if we are concerned that what is happening in our school district, we're talking about the same people who have been teaching here, have been dedicated their lives to our children and to our community. We have not had the same Board of Education members. We have not had the same administration, nor the same superintendents. We have had a high turnover. So I think we need to have a little bit more respect for the people who are working here. I disagree wholeheartedly that the fact that this is a somehow NJEA trick. If the reality is that some people do not feel comfortable or the reality is they want better communication, I think we all should take a look at that and say, how can we communicate better? How can we do the best for our kids? How can we make sure that this staff also feels validated, feels respected. Giving surveys and asking the questions, but then not addressing the issues is not true communication. And if we are going to be completely honest and completely transparent, we need to see data. We need to actually visualize it. We need to talk about it. And we need to not just say, well, you know, the attendance, it's hard to talk about, but it's there. In the high school, my daughter's at the high school. There's one or two kids in the classes right now. And I understand that's people's choices and that's fine. But we need to be honest and transparent. If there are concerns, I don't believe we need to stop them from speaking. I don't think that's respectful. I don't think it also shows an example for our students and for the kids that we're raising. If on social media, people are bashing staff, teachers, saying that they are literally committing political child abuse, it is not only awful, it is disrespectful. It is not acceptable. It's not professional. And we should not have leaders that are speaking like that against anyone. We need to have true conversation. We need to be respectful. And most importantly, we need to be examples for the kids in our community. If we expect our kids to use social media responsibly, how can we expect that if we're not showing the example? I don't understand how that is leadership. Leadership is being open and transparent. Yes, it's making hard decisions and not everyone will be happy with it, but we need to listen. And we need to listen and advocate for one another. And we need to be respectful. It shouldn't take so long to be able to have a Board of Education that and the staff be able to have conversations and to be able to be in an agreement. Everyone wants the same thing. The teachers, the staff members, administrators, the Board of Education, and the parents community, we all want our kids to have the best education possible. There is no reason that we should not be able to communicate as adults with differences, with disagreements, with respect, and to hear one another. I hope that we will continue and we will be better about doing so.
Thank you, Katie. I actually am clueless as to what you're referring to in terms of some teacher bashing on Facebook. I mean,
well, I'm sorry, I don't really go on hearing it. It's very disrespectful. And it's from your own leadership. And I expect different. That is not a good example. You should listen to it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. And I understand that. I would be glad to. But just so that you know, there has not been complete honesty. When Dr. Seitz says that only two staff members, he's only heard from two staff members, that's not protocol. Staff members are not asked. They're not supposed to go completely to Dr. Seitz to communicate with him. They are supposed
So Katie, it's very interesting. You brought that up in terms of, you know, wanting the union to be listened to, that they don't feel like they have, I guess they feel like they don't have any way to pursue their remedies. And it's astounding to me since they have a union and their union president was right here, you know, and she does what she's
not allowed to speak.
Of course she was allowed to speak. I let her speak for 5 minutes.
But the idea that there's a monologue conversation of respect is unfortunate because we need to be able to set an example.
If we are to do that, we need to show that. Yeah, okay. I thought the fact that I'm actually concerned that the level of disrespect given to Dr. Seitz, who's been here for 5 minutes, by them not giving them a chance. So I'm actually not happy about that. I don't know if it represents the whole union. But that's who their union leadership. And Katie, I've been not just here, elsewhere. I know this is what union presidents do. They do this, and it's okay.
Well, I think you should ask what the survey was.
It's up to them if they share the number
of how many people, because I know over 300 people signed out of 400. So I think that, you know, throwing out these things, I think we need to listen. My point is have respectful dialogue, set an example for the students that we are here for.
Yeah, and I think that's super important. You seem to have more facts than I do from the union's perspective, and that's all I'm trying to say. So it's hard, and I think unfortunately on Facebook, which a lot of people assume a lot of things about what the board may know or don't know or what role that we have. So we don't have a role in terms of the day-to-day operations. And I think all of us try very hard to limit ourselves to that.
Katie, I've been on this board for 10 years.
And I was going to go to that. Mike probably can give you the history.
Yes, you have.
But what I was going to say, if I could just say something, Katie, and by the way, I've always appreciated your involvement in the community. You taught.
Thank you.
Some of my kids, I don't know if both of them, but I know you taught one of them.
Just one. Yeah.
One of them, right. Look, this board, I would have to say, in the 10 years I've been on the board, we've gone all over the place in a lot of different positions, attitudes, political positions, positions about the schools, directions of where the schools should go, everything of that nature. But the one constant that I would say is I can't agree that the board has not been open to civil conversation with all parties. See, you can have civil conversation and you can have disagreement. I think that that connection, unfortunately, seems to have disappeared in recent years, where people seem to have problems with the idea that you can have a different opinion, but somehow by not having the same opinion as me, there's conflict that is irreversible, or you're not supposedly having this type of conversation that is open to different viewpoints. The truth is, this 9 members of the board, we have a lot of different viewpoints. I've served with boards with radically different viewpoints. We always seem to come together and find an answer. And on the subject of experience, this is the most experienced board I've ever served on. This board has, besides a president and a vice president, it also has 3 former vice presidents and a former president and a 9-term township committee member. I'm sorry, 9 years, 3. I didn't mean to make you older than you were, Terrence. This is a board that's seasoned, and it's a board that's attempted to be very open to a lot of the viewpoints. The last thing I would say is I wouldn't describe the presenting that Denise made as an opening of a conversation. I believe that she was giving us a manifesto that was listed point by point in an attack against her superintendent and essentially dared the board to stand up for the superintendent, which we have done. Do you want to have a conversation about the merits of individual actions that the superintendent takes? I don't see any reason why the board would not have that discussion. And I've seen no evidence that the board wouldn't have that discussion. So this is an open board. This is a board that's willing to listen to people. Anybody out there can call me, text me, confront me in the street after Corona disappears, and I will talk to them and I'll give them my viewpoint. I'll listen. May not be the viewpoint you agree with. But that's the way democracy works, isn't it? We all have different viewpoints. We're all trying to pull together, and we're all pulling together in different ways because we all have different viewpoints that we think will lead us down the road. And the road that we're trying to travel is what can we do to make sure our kids are prepared for the 21st century and they get a quality education. So I hope that that kind of addresses your concerns, Katie.
I think it addresses some, and I appreciate, Mr. Sacco, what you're saying, and I agree. I think that an educated, respectful dialogue is completely important. And I think that that means that we have to listen to differences of opinions and not shoot it down and not say it's disrespectful and not listen. But the words that we use, whether it be in social media or in person, need to be respectful. And we need to address the needs and concerns of staff, community, and all of those concerned. I'm just saying, I think it's time that we be a little bit more respectful and that we listen to one another. If there are grave concerns from our staff, my child is in that classroom or she's virtual, and I want her to know that those staff members feel respected and that they are heard. And that's very important to me. And I hope that we will all as a community want the same thing, because we all want our kids to be learning and we all want them to be in a respectful environment where everybody feels that they are valued and respected, and their lives, their livelihood, their families, they are all taken into concern and into account.
Well, as my mother, a 30-year school teacher, used to always say, that's why you have 2 ears and 1 mouth.
Sounds pretty good. Mike Sokol, I opened that conversation with you. I'd be glad to speak with you.
I'm always open to talking.
So
much to Vicky's chagrin, I am always open to talking.
That is not true. He's always telling me he has a meeting when I need to talk to him sometimes.
That's true too. Someone else needs to talk to them.
Katie, but he'll probably take your or mine. But I'm still unclear. I know for me and a lot of my board members, we really do try not to say anything on Facebook. So I'm just at a loss and unable to respond to your comment based on that, because I do nothing but try to be, here's my mode of operation. I pretty much put pictures of my kids And if I do anything about the school, it's always very supportive because I am very supportive of the school.
As am I.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Seeing no more questions, at this point in time, I would just like to indicate today is the last meeting of Miss Jamie Collins, who has dedicated a tremendous amount of time and effort to all things Homedale Board of Education. She is an avid researcher, educator for all of us. She will give us all the time that we need to discuss issues. I wanted to open it up to everyone to share their gratitude to Jamie. But Jamie, I think we're gonna have you over in January so I could give you your plaque.
Okay, thank you.
Mike, can you put the picture of the plaque up at some point? Or no, I can't do that. Well, you're gonna have a nice plaque.
Thank you.
But go ahead, who would like to start it off? Mike Sokol?
I'm going to take a break. I have something to say, but I've been speaking a whole lot today. So I'll step back. I have something to say to Jamie at the end.
Okay, Eileen, you could go first then.
All right. It has been truly an awesome 3 years working with Jamie. I was thinking about some of the adjectives I would use to describe Jamie. I think we might have seen a few of them this evening, but I'll start with just a few. Persistent, definitely, hardworking, driven, and most importantly, she was always thoughtful in considering all of our students in every grade, in every level. She always had everyone in mind, and I think as a board member, that's something that we all should strive for, and that's something that I admire about Jamie. She pays attention to detail like it's nobody's business. Her note-taking skills, I'm sure if you ever were to see her collection, maybe 100 notebooks and binders, I'm not sure. She always asks for clarification when needed. She is an excellent board member, and without hesitation, she will be dearly missed. Lucky for her and her family, they get more of her. But for us, I think it's a big loss, and I'll just be happy to still have Jamie Collins in my corner as a friend. So thank you, Jamie, for everything you've done. Thank you for, you know, guiding us through a lot of CNI discussions. And, you know, I will see you on the walking trail. Thank you.
Thanks, Eileen.
I'll go next, Vic.
Thank you, Pete.
Jamie, congratulations for your 3 years of dedicated service. I think you've done an amazing job. Everything Eileen says, I'll repeat. But honestly, you know, like in your 3 years, you made a huge impact right from the get-go. I mean, you weren't afraid to jump right in. You did, like Eileen said, a tremendous amount of research on so many different things, whether it's curriculum instruction to HIB, and you were passionate about it, you know? And I appreciate that. And I like when I see people put forth the effort and the activity and action. So good luck. You'll definitely be hard to be replaced. I can tell you that. So thanks for your 3 years of service.
Thanks, Pete.
Can I go?
Yes, please.
Well, I actually became friends with Jamie because of waivers and transparency and equity in the school system. So thank you, the former administration, for enabling Jamie and I to become friends. But I talked her into running for the board, and then she called me up and she talked me into running for the board. So we're both responsible for each other being in this mess. But I just want to say that what I so appreciate about Jamie is she's a champion of transparency, and she's a champion of, you know, of
57.
About data. Like, you're not.
I'm sorry.
Show me the data. And I'm so happy that we have this new administration that is show me the data, so we can, you know, back things up with facts. And that's what Jamie has been a champion of for 3 years. And it's so great that we finally have that, and we have the support of the superintendent and the assistant superintendent have that vision. And I really think Jamie was a champion in us understanding that was an important vision to have. And I also believe that Jamie is a huge champion of clarifying the HIV process, understanding how to be fair to both, you know, victim and the accused, and making it transparent, making it just an easier system for us to understand, and also easier on the children involved. And I really think with our new system we're going to have with HIPSTER, and hopefully with the new methodologies we're going to take, it's going to be transformed. It, like before, when a child had an HIV, going through the investigation of an HIV was another traumatic experience on top of the traumatic experience. So she really worked to help make that a better, more smooth experience for those children involved, which are going through a trauma. So thank you for being sensitive to that. So for being a champion of transparency, of compassion, of empathy, and of data, and I'm gonna really miss you. So, but I can't even believe you got me in this position and then you leave me here.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Okay, who would like to go next? Terrence?
Sure, thank you. Jamie.
Terrence.
Congratulations. You know, just a little fun fact is that on this call and on the board are three Holmdel High School graduates. So if you're wondering where we fine-tuned our skills at making sure that the right decisions are made and we do our best and we stand up for what's right, you can certainly thank all the teachers in Holmdel High School that I learned from and that Jamie learned from and that Elizabeth Urbanski learned from. All three folks graduated Holmdel High School, and it speaks to the interest in staying with your community, having roots in a community. And when you're speaking on behalf of the folks, like whether the children or the parents or the educators, the staff and the support staff as well, that you're trying to speak from the collective voice of the community, not just from your own sense of what you feel, but trying to be respectful and understand what everyone's role is. So that is why we're here. And that is why we volunteer. And that's why we try to make the right decisions on a day-to-day basis. But really, just briefly, Jamie, everyone said some really great things. Congratulations to you, to your family, because families, whether they're of the board members or the educators or support staff, you need the support of your family to succeed in any of your endeavors, whether it's volunteer or it's in your professional life. It's truly important. So to your family, thank them as well. And all the best to you. Look forward to talking to you again. And all the best to you. Happy Hanukkah. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful new year. I think 2021 will be very exciting for the entire community here, Holmdel, New Jersey, and the world. Thank you.
Good luck,
Jamie.
Thank you, Terrence.
Hey, Vicky, if you want, I'll go next.
Go ahead, Joe.
So, Jamie, congratulations on getting another 5 days out of your life, a year or a month, I'm sure. But I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of probably a lot of the students and parents of Holmdel, because I think your efforts around trying to improve the rankings and putting in information in place, it's something that I've always been an advocate for, and you really were a strong advocate for that and really made it happen, I think, and made some substantial differences in the community through your efforts and really focusing on certain areas. I think it was Mike said earlier, you know, you are always one of these people that would, you know, even if we had different disagreements, where we're always listening and we, you know, we listen to each other and you know, even if we didn't necessarily agree on certain things, was very, very open. And I think that collaboration as a board, I think, was something that you brought to the board and put up with me with all of my complaining about being too long board meetings and stuff. So, but I really enjoyed being with you on the board. And I think you were a strong advocate, as Elizabeth said, to all the kids that you represent on the board, and you will definitely be missed, and I'm sure you'll get a lot of your life back, and you probably won't miss this board too much, but we'll miss you. So
thank you.
I guess it's my turn now.
Yes, myself.
We live in an era in which truth has become a commodity. It's malleable and seems to be in the eyes of the beholder. it has become so precious that there are people who value truth to the degree that Jamie Collins values truth. Jamie Collins wants answers. Jamie Collins wants to know how things really are happening, and by understanding, being able to cause good, effective change. I'm reminded of a quote by Yuval Noah Harari, who wrote the book Sapiens. And in one of his books, he said, "Questions you cannot answer are usually far better for you than answers you cannot question." Jamie doesn't like answers you cannot question. Jamie wants to get to the heart of the matter. And through her 3 years, she has been pushing and pulling and bulldogging her way to get a better understanding of why things are working on our curriculum, why data can't be executed in a way to find the answer she seeks, and to be an advocate for a group that often just gets really neglected or pushed to the side, which are our HIB population and individuals who have been affected by HIB. She hasn't been afraid to tackle both the mundane and the important. And we're going to miss that type of commitment, that type of relentlessness to ensure that we are, in fact, finding the truth behind everything that we do when it comes to developing programs and curriculum that lead to excellence in our schools. I know she isn't going away anywhere. I suspect that she will make her appearance from time to time. She might even think about a second act, which we would all encourage. But she will be missed next year for sure. And I, more than anyone, certainly wish her the best. And I will miss our occasional arguments. I will welcome and treasure the moments that we came to agreement, and certainly will welcome the occasional gifts of scotch that are sitting around inside my house for later consumption for a few toasts. So thank you very much, Jamie, for everything you've done.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike Patrizzo, did you want to say something?
Absolutely. I just wanted to, you hear me, Vicki?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. I just want to echo everybody's comments here. Jamie, I do want to thank you for your service to the students. It's all about the students, and you always, that was what drove you, and everything everybody said was always really for the students, what was best for the students. And I certainly want to thank you for your service to the students, the district, the community as a whole, and congratulate you. You were such a big part in so much accomplishments, and a big part of the success we realized with this referendum, and getting our schools ready, and the list goes on and on. So congratulations, and certainly you will be missed, and hopefully you stay in touch, and look forward to seeing you at meetings, and don't ever hesitate to reach out. But thank you, and the best of luck, and wish you and your family the very best, and a healthy and happy holiday season.
Thank you, Michael. Paul Green, would you have something to say about Jamie?
Absolutely. Jamie, you've been a wonderful board member. It was really wonderful working with you. The work we did on the HIB area, frankly, put me through some intellectual hoops that nobody else had ever done. And it was fascinating. It was fascinating to really see your insights and your questions, very deeply thought and very deeply committed to doing the right thing and addressing these issues on such a very difficult topic. So it's really been a joy to work with you. We're going to very much miss you. I hope we get to stay in touch. And I want to wish you all the best, and a happy Hanukkah and a happy New Year, and just be well.
Thank you, Paul.
And by the way, Jamie, I just noticed that I had some Johnny Walker Blue Label, and I would have preferred to be able to share it with others here.
Okay, Mike.
I would like to do a little toast.
Okay, none of us have drinks, Mike, because we are... Okay, we'll toast to Jamie. Go ahead, do a toast, Mike.
To many, many...
The Starbucks. L'chaim.
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 Uh-huh.
We can pull this off because this is remote.
I mean, Dr. Seitz, I know you talked a lot to Jamie, so go ahead, and then I will wrap it up with some image.
Well, when I first met Jamie and realized that she was associated with the New Jersey Devils, I had some serious misgivings about her ability to serve as a board member. But I looked beyond the Devils. And what I really appreciated was, well, one time I was filling out a survey for the characteristics of a superintendent. And I thought it said ruthless, so I checked the box. But it really said relentless. But over the years, I've come to realize that we have to be borderline ruthless to get to the core of the problem, to understand the data that we're generating, and then come up with solutions to address those needs, those gaps. And in the short time I worked with you, that was so evident that you were more concerned about identifying and defining the problem, looking at solutions and applying the solution, and looking for growth and looking for really increase in student achievement. So you are a wonderful board member. That drive you have will be missed and is very difficult to replace, but I know a few members of this board will continue that desire to know what's going on and then come up with solutions to solve it. So you've been a great role model. And again, I've been able to overlook the support of the Devils. And I wish you that you have time now that you're off the board to relax a little bit, because I know it is a stressful, demanding job that isn't really quite covered by the pay. So thank you for being a board member. And I really enjoyed working with you.
Thank you, Lee. Jamie, this is the point of the meeting where I saved it to Zoom, where we have cake. Because we used to have cake for everything, but we can't. And it's sad that we can't celebrate you that in the way that we usually celebrate our outgoing board members, because you, like so many, have given so much to our district. Jamie, you can never forget what you've done for all of these kids. You know, whatever decisions you made today are gonna impact our district long-term for the next few years. I mean, I had a conversation with another board member today. Everything that we kind of do today, time it takes like 2 years to really take effect sometimes. Yeah. And the relentlessness that you demonstrated, like so, and you share amongst so many of us, where we all have that in our DNA. Some, you know, show it more than others, but you showed it in terms of we want to get it right and we want to get it done now for our kids, because that's how much we care about these kids, these 3,000 students. You have to put aside any of our own individual interests and do what needs to be done. And we want it done like yesterday. So we always feel like we're up against this time crunch, and it's a very frustrating position because the stakes in our minds are so high. You know, making a kid's not gonna be able to do second grade over. I mean, right now, even in this virtual world, you know, these kids are trying to learn, the staff's trying to teach, everyone's trying to do what we did in the past and hope for the same results. And I know you feel the same way as many of us. I know you feel it more than others. You're so deeply concerned about it and want to do whatever we can to make it the best we can for our students, even through this pandemic. And for that, on behalf of my children, the Naughton girls, I thank you for everything that you have done. I thank you for every kid who's been bullied. I thank you for everything you've done to stand up for that kid, even the ones that might not technically be bullying, but to advocate in favor of programming to make sure that like nothing like that happens again, that school is safe for students, that it is a safe zone. You really stood for that. And that is huge. And I hope we are going in the right direction to get things done, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without your support. So thank you on behalf of the Naughtons, on behalf of all the students. Thank you, Jamie. Done so much, and you're a legend when it comes to board member. But on a personal note, whenever I think of my friend Jamie, I think of popcorn. And this is what. And I get a good chuckle over it every time I see it. Jamie, the reason you're such a good board member too is because you're a loyal and supportive friend. And I am thankful. And I'm then, and I say this to all my board members, I am always thankful for the relationships that we've created, because you all have supported me in so many ways. I have enjoyed my time working with everyone here, getting to know everyone. We're all really have a nice close bond. But Jamie, she came to one of, when I last run for, I think it was the last time I ran for Board of Education, Jamie sat in that front row to support me. I know she did. And in so doing, and you know, I think people could be nervous. I get a little nervous. I think it's good to have a little nervous energy. And I don't know if Joe was like sitting next to me too, and we were all like sitting there. And Jamie was right in front supporting us, eating a box of popcorn. So the whole thing, like she was watching some type of movie that was very entertaining. I don't think I said anything really entertaining. But it was an indelible image I can never remove from my head, and it makes me smile. But it demonstrates the loyalty and the friendship that we all share, and the fact that you took your time out of your day to support me. I want to thank you for that.
And how odd and inappropriate I am.
It wasn't inappropriate. They gave me the popcorn.
That's true.
But it was fun. So on behalf of the board, on behalf of the district and my family, thank you, Jamie, for everything you've done. Please continue to call us. I know you will. So some people go on a sabbatical afterwards because it's nice to get your Wednesday nights back. So, but maybe we'll end up calling you for those first few Wednesday nights afterwards.
Sounds good to me.
Love to you. Love to the kids. You know, love to everyone. And then tell them thank you for sharing you with us for the last 3 years.
I will. Thank you for all the, I can't even tell you how touched I am. Really.
Everyone take your cake. No. I wish we could have done more, Jamie. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I had a little speech that I wanted to give. Now it seems very trivial, but maybe I should just do it anyway.
It's your floor.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. A lot of people have gone, but hi, everybody. Happy holidays. And I hope everyone is hunkering down and staying safe. I am so sorry that we didn't have the board meeting in person tonight so I could see everybody and give my proper goodbyes, but I totally understand that this is the situation. I thought a lot about what I wanted to say tonight. I started brainstorming over the past week, and I've had so many things to say, but it just wasn't coming together. So I asked my husband for a little advice, and he gave me some great pointers. He suggested that I make it short and sweet, which I've tried to do, and start out by simply telling everybody that I enjoyed my time on the board and so forth and so on. But when I started writing those words about enjoying being on the board, well, not exactly wrong, it felt a little like a platitude and empty positivity, and I've long grown tired of that type of talk. Grateful, proud of our accomplishments, full of warm feelings and admiration for the people I've worked with is more on point. Being a board member is a near full-time job for many of us. To do it right, the board needs dedicated members who are willing to put in the necessary hours, pay attention, and be on call and ready to deal with challenges. Did I enjoy the job at times? Yes, in some ways and at some times. But all in all, it was a duty and a responsibility. A difficult and a demanding job, the requirements of which I hope I fulfilled. I think it would be more accurate to say that I was challenged to the maximum breaking point. And because of this, I am not the same person I was 3 years ago. But for such an opportunity, I can't be thankful enough. Mostly, I am proud of the major changes we made in the district, and I wanted to remind the board and the public of the excellent work we have done. We've reopened the schools safely during COVID pandemic and made certain the district was using the best technology to ensure the health and safety of our students, teachers, and personnel. We have a district in excellent financial condition, thanks to our talented business administrator, Mike Petrizzo, with a successful $40 million on-time and on-budget referendum, implementation of a full-day kindergarten, and top-notch COVID preventative measures. We fought to take the necessary steps to improve rankings. We hired Dr. Seitz and Charney, seasoned, competent, and effective leaders who are unafraid to make decisions to affect positive change in the district.
We fought for data-driven analysis in the district and approved the purchase of Linkit, which is now being utilized. We fought for academic integrity, for the needs of students that are bullied and a better HIV process, and we fought for a change in school culture. Upon my departure, my sincerest wish is that as a district, we always make the educational needs of our students our first priority. Sometimes I don't think that that was happening, to be quite honest. While we've accomplished so much over the last 3 years and we are on an upward trajectory, we are just beginning our ascent. We must be willing to take a hard look at ourselves to make necessary changes in the district for our growth and for the good of our children. And that task starts with data. I would also like to see our children challenged more, educationally and from an emotional standpoint. I've heard the use forced thrown around far too many times in the district. We can't force our kids to take AP tests. We can't force our students to be accountable for cheating and so forth. Holding students and people in general up to high standards is not tantamount to force. I believe our children are capable of what we tell them they are capable of, and challenging them is not only okay, but necessary to make them stronger, more resilient people. Let's set the bar higher for them, not lower. I wanted to take a moment to thank the community for electing me to serve on the board. I enjoyed being an educational and cultural advocate for the students of this district, and I know that I fought as hard as I could for them. Along with my fellow board members, we have worked hard to raise the bar for excellence in our district and would accept no less. Many of us have done so at a cost to us personally and sometimes at a cost to our own families. But we did so in spite of the difficulties because the education of our children is well worth it. In closing, I want to say how thankful I am for the friendships I formed on the board that I hope will last a lifetime. I will miss the people and the bonds I made during this time. You are people that make me feel that life is good, that people are fair and honest, and there are people who are willing to do the right thing in this world just because. I also want to thank the strong women on this board for whom I have so much respect and admiration. We had each other's backs. We weren't afraid to speak up in spite of the resistance we often faced. We worked well together and accomplished so much because we were willing to put in the time and energy into a cause bigger than ourselves. I will miss the time we shared on the board terribly. And I'm going to say this anyway. I crossed it out and I said it was embarrassing, but I'm just going to tell you guys I love you. Oh, and I also wanted to say thank you to Paul for all the work we did together. We spent a lot of time on the phone together and I appreciate that. So good luck to the district and the board, and I will be rooting for you from the sidelines. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jamie. That was nice. Everyone's clapping.
Thank you. We will always ask if the fifth grade is reaching their benchmarks.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. And now I hope, I guess I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Amy should do that.
Yeah.
Jane? What do I do? Move or just say motion to adjourn?
You could say that.
Motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second.
Show of hands or wave or say aye.
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 Everyone, good night.
Aye.
Night.
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 Good night,
guys.
Good night.
And all, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.